From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the science of ghosts and other paranormal things. And here's what's happening. The rapidly expanding number of satellites transmitting GPS locations, cell phone signals, and other sensitive information is creating new opportunities for hackers. It's a risk compounded by the growing number of aging satellite systems in circulation. Now, while it's cheaper to leave the old satellites in orbit rather than pulling them from space, the outdated systems are even easier targets now for hacking. Just last week, security researchers at Symantec warned that a China-based cyber espionage group known as TREP targeted satellite, telecom, and defense companies in the United States in Southeast Asia, and maybe very successfully. A federal judge in California has just ordered a halt to most family separations at the U.S. border and the reunification of all families that have been separated in the first major rebuke to the Trump administration during ongoing furor over family separations at the border. Now, the court order specifically requires federal officials to stop detaining parents apart from their minor children absent a determination that the parent is unfit or that the parent declines reunification. Reunifying all parents with their minor children who are under the age of 5 within 14 days and reunify all parents with their minor children age 5 and older within 30 days. The judge's order does not mean the Trump administration must stop prosecuting people who cross the border illegally. And a sharply divided Supreme Court has upheld President Donald Trump's ban on travel from several mostly Muslim countries, the majority taking his side in a major ruling supporting his presidential power. A dissenting justice said the court was making a historic mistake by refusing to recognize the ban discriminating against Muslims. Howard Bloom, author of The Mohammed Code, is with us. Howard, what's your take on the Supreme Court ruling?
Well, here's the deal. On the issue of the travel ban, my side, the Democratic side, is wrong. Donald Trump told CNN in 2016, I think Islam hates us. Trump was wrong about moderate Muslims. Muslims like Khizr Khan love the American Constitution more than most Americans do, but radical Islam does hate us. So do the majority of the citizens of Muslim countries like Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
According to Osama bin Laden, America is the worst civilization witnessed by the history of mankind, and it deserves to be destroyed. Now, Osama bin Laden is gone, but his sentiments linger on for a reason. Osama's views are based on the life and teachings of Muhammad, and the life and teachings of Muhammad are the source of all holiness in Islam. The problem is that Muhammad was a killer. He commanded 65 military campaigns and personally led 27 of them. He conquered 317 square miles of land a day. He called himself the prophet of war, and he loved torture and mass beheadings. In 629 A.D., Muhammad made it clear to his followers that they had to conquer the entire earth for Islam. Their obligation was to purge the planet of all other belief systems. To achieve this goal, said Muhammad, you had to use terror and bloodshed. You had to make great slaughter in the land until you were exhausted and terrorized the inhabitants into complete submission. Added Muhammad, the warriors who died killing folks like you and me, they get an express ticket to paradise. Now, my side, us liberal Democrats, don't want to know these basic facts. Today, Cory Booker spoke to protesters outside the Supreme Court. But backing the protest at which Booker spoke and backing others like it are groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Justice for Islam Collective, and the Muslim Public Affairs Council. These groups lie about Islam, and they often support extremists. I know how the Council on American Islamic Relations lies. They attacked my first book, The Lucifer Principle, in 1998. The Council on American Islamic Relations claimed that the Lucifer Principle's facts about militant Islam were wrong. I was forced to re-research those facts for the 10th time, and it turned out on the 10th time that the Lucifer Principle's facts were not only right, but that the reality was even worse than what I'd written. The Council on American Islamic Relations had lied, and they are lying when they tell protesters that Islam is a religion of peace. It's not, at least not for Islam's more than 160 million militants and militant sympathizers. That's more militants, George, than the population of England, France, Greece, and Portugal.
So you support this Supreme Court ruling?
I support it in a kind of qualified way. I think there's a more efficient way to go about what's actually in the president's order. The president's order is focused on the idea of separating the moderates from those who are not moderate and dealing with countries that can give you a good background report on the people they give visas to. These seven countries that he's picked do not have an effective system for screening visas, often because they're in pieces, like Yemen is in pieces right now, Libya is in pieces right now. And the idea of screening more carefully to separate the potential militants from the potential moderates is it's an important idea, even if
Howard,
to a president I oppose.
Most of the militants during 9/11 were Saudis. They still would have gotten through even with this ruling.
Because it very, very obviously neglects one country whose citizens have sponsored terrorism, and that is Saudi Arabia.
Exactly. Howard, thank you so much. An automobile trade group said it would tell the Trump administration that a U.S. threat to impose a tariff of up to 25% on imported passenger vehicles under national security grounds would cost American consumers, that's you and me, $45 billion a year, or nearly $6,000 per vehicle. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com, with us right now. John, eventually the economy is not going to be able to sustain stuff like this.
Well, we're already in a bear market right now. So, I mean, it's not going to take long to, you know, tip this into a recession if, you know, the talk of trade wars going on. What Trump is trying to do with Wilbur Ross is, George, he's trying to end the tariffing that goes on of U.S. automotive products in the European Commission, European Union. Currently, I think they pay approximately about 10% tariff on Ford and Chevrolet products. And so he wants, you know, the playing field leveled, basically, in a better agreement with Europe. It's also an attempt to kind of renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement, especially with countries like Canada and Mexico. But I think ultimately, and I think this is something that people need to understand about Trump, is that the headlines themselves are largely smoke, and they're designed basically to get, you know, the other side to come to the table. And this is, you know, a negotiating tactic. It really goes back to Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think the panic that people are feeling right now is just sort of the typical mass hysteria, knee-jerk response to almost everything that Trump does. And, you know, if I could just say one thing about that Supreme Court ruling, that the ruling itself, the Supreme Court never looked at all this Islamophobia that they attribute to Trump in statements. That was all immaterial to any of the proceedings of the arguments before the high court. The only thing that they ruled on was that in the travel ban, there was no mention of Islam, no mention of Muslims, and therefore there was no violation of the First Amendment at all. It was simply an Article II issue, and the majority ruled that under Article II, the president has a right to restrict immigration on a temporary basis if he feels it's a threat to national security. That's all it was about.
All right, John, good follow-up. Appreciate it. Now listen to this story. Boeing has unveiled a hypersonic airliner capable of flying from New York to London in 2 hours. 2 hours. Every time we do Beyond Belief every month when we fly from L.A. to Denver, it's 2 hours. This is New York to London in 2 hours. This jet, this hypersonic jet, will fly 4,000 miles an hour. It's going to happen. Flight attendants have a higher risk of all types of cancers, according to a study. Atmosphere, as well as disrupted sleep and meal cycles, could be the factors. This was published in the journal Environmental Health. The study found that a higher rate of every cancer outcome it looked at when age was also standardized. In a moment, Ty Bollinger joins us with his work, The Truth About Cancer, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Ty Bollinger back with us. Ty is a best-selling author, award-winning documentary film producer, and former competitive bodybuilder after losing several family members to cancer. And Ty will get into this in a much broader sense. Ty refused to accept the notion that chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery were the most effective treatments available for cancer patients. He began a quest to learn all that he possibly could about alternative cancer treatments and the medical industry. Ty has now made this his life mission. It is his passion. Later next hour, when we take phone calls, in addition to you who call, I would like all of you who might have fought cancer, who still have cancer, to check in with us and just let us know what you're doing. Ty, welcome back, my friend.
George, thank you so much for having me on again. Look forward to a great conversation tonight, as always.
Let's let you elaborate a little bit on losing your family members and what you decided to do.
Yeah, George, I lost my father, Graham Bollinger, on July the 25th of 1996, which was literally 25 days from his diagnosis. He was only 52.
Ugh.
Prior to losing Dad at the age of 52, and by the way, George, I just turned 50, so Dad was 2 years older than I am right now when we lost him. It just doesn't seem...
It's too young. Way too young.
But after we lost Dad, I lost several other family members over the next 7 or 8 years, including my mother, seven in total. And we just began to read and research, and the Internet was getting populated with medical literature at that time, and we found out that there's a lot of treatments out there that were available that we just didn't know about that might have saved my parents. I don't know, but it could have, but we just didn't know the information. And so we began a quest to educate people that they have options if they're diagnosed with cancer, and that's really what you mentioned, our life's mission. That's what it's become.
When we first talked years ago, we were talking about your book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. Now you've got a film called The Truth About Cancer. My sister, Ty, died several years ago from brain cancer. I'm convinced it was a cell phone. We'll get into that a little bit later on today. But it seems that cancer rates are continuing to be at an almost epidemic pace. Is that accurate?
They are, George. As a matter of fact, according to the World Health Organization, everybody that's listening today, pay attention, 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women that are alive today will be diagnosed with cancer. That's an epidemic, George, and the rates are just increasing. It's just amazing. We're getting exposed to so many things today that are possible or known carcinogens compared to what we had 50, 60 years ago. It's just really tragic that so many people are dying of cancer and getting cancer.
And explain what cancer is, Ty, if you will.
Cancer is, based on my research, it's a symptom of a failed immune system. Our immune systems protect us from invaders, from bacteria, from pathogens, from cancer, if they're functioning properly. But if they begin to malfunction, if they're not able to protect us the way that we're made to be, then cancer can get a hold in our body. You know, the reality is, George, everybody that's listening has cancer to some extent or another. In other words, we all have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of cancer cells. But not everybody's diagnosed with, quote, cancer, and not everybody dies from it. Well, why do some people have it but never have it, have any kind of symptoms in their body? The reason is their immune system controls it. But when the immune system begins to fail, cancer can get a foothold.
I was reading a story today where they said a modified version of the polio vaccine, when injected into a brain tumor of most people who were going to last 2 weeks to a couple months, it's beginning to show amazing results. Isn't that something?
That is something. I've not read that article, but I'm very familiar with there's certain vaccines that are being used to treat cancer. And I wasn't aware of the polio vaccine, but there are several that are being used. There's vaccines that they're using in Germany that are called dendritic cell vaccines. There are vaccines that are being used here in the United States in certain clinics that are using our own cells to fight cancer. So it's amazing the technology that is progressing, but it's also sad that there's just still so many people that don't know that they have options outside of the box.
Ty, what percent of cancers do you think are caused from environmental reasons?
Well, I'll quote a statistic that's on the American Cancer Society's own website, George. It's 80%.
80%?
80% are due to lifestyle choices and environmental toxicity. Only 15 to 20%, according to the ACS, has a genetic link. So that kind of is counter to what we hear from a doctors, because we go to the doctors, and if you're diagnosed with cancer, it's very, very common that they'll say, it's genetic, this cancer's genetic. Well, that's what they've been told, but that's not what the research is telling us. Only a minority of cancers are genetic. Most of them are caused by toxicity and environmental and lifestyle choices.
So 100 years ago, 200 years ago, when we didn't have the kind of environmental issues that we have today, did they still have the same incidence of cancer, or was it much lower?
No, it was much, much lower. In 1900, it's estimated that 1 in 80 people had cancer. And now it's 1 in 2 men, 1 in 3 women. That's what, 118 years? It's certainly not genetic, George, if you look at it from that perspective. Genes don't change that quickly. We've had to have been exposed to something that's causing these cancers. And, you know, you mentioned cell phones and your sister. I'm so sorry to hear that. That's certainly one of the causes. And there's dozens more that we're exposed to today that we were not exposed to 100 years ago.
And, of course, one of the saddest things of watching somebody with cancer is a child. Why are children coming down with cancer?
It's horrific, George. And the reason is, I believe, and this is what the research is showing on the blood that we're finding in umbilical cords, which is where children that are being born get their nutrition for 9 months in the umbilical cord. We're showing 280-plus chemicals in umbilical cord blood, of which over 200 are carcinogens.
Oh, I mean, the little one doesn't even have a chance then.
They don't have a chance. You know, my wife, Charlene, often says, it's not amazing that children are being born with cancer. It's amazing that there's children born without cancer today, because so much toxicity in the environment, so many known carcinogens that they're being exposed to. It's truly amazing that we have healthy babies anymore.
If you look at it from the conspiratorial angle, you would think nobody wants a cure for cancer. Those that are in the business, they don't want this fixed, because they make money on the research.
You know, George, there is a lot. There are more people that are making a living on cancer than any other disease today. And you know, from a conspiratorial aspect, I'd say that's right. Now, those people are people, too, and they have families, too. And a lot of times, people even in high places in the oncological research centers and so forth, their positions change when it's them or when it's their family member that gets cancer. They begin to see the light. But there's a lot of money being made on cancer, and there's a lot of money being made on cancer, on treating cancer, but never reversing it. And I don't want to say curing cancer, because I don't believe there are cures for cancer. As weird as that might seem, George, I believe that there are substances that are here on Earth and natural treatments that are here and integrative treatments that can put your body back and give it the immune system that it needs so that it does the healing, it does the curing. So I think your body's the cure. But I think there are substances that we can use to put our body back in that position. But there was a doctor, I want to mention that there's a doctor in Michigan that was put in jail a couple of years ago. And this is the incentive that oncologists have to treat but never cure. Oncologists actually can mark up chemotherapy. I don't know if you knew that, George, but that's the only drug that they can buy wholesale and sell it retail to their patients. There was a doctor in Michigan. His name was Fareed Fatah. In 2015, he was convicted of Medicare fraud and money laundering and all sorts of conspiratorial aspects towards his patients. He had milked Medicare for $93 million over a period of 10 years, prescribing chemotherapy to many patients that didn't even have cancer, because he got a kickback on it to the tune of $90-plus million. That is the pressure, the monetary pressure that oncologists are under, because it's the system's broken when it allows doctors to mark up the drugs that they sell to their patients.
Edgar Cayce, the late American prophet, said in one of his readings that eating 2 or 3 almonds a day would prevent a tendency toward cancer. Now, he didn't say it cured cancer, but he did say it prevented a tendency to get cancer. A remarkable story. How many other things like almonds are out there?
Well, you know, you mentioned almonds, bitter almonds, which the pit of an apricot is known as a bitter almond. And there are actually almonds that are technically considered to be bitter that aren't in apricot pits. But there's a substance that's in apricot pits, that's in bitter almonds, that's in apple seeds, that's in a lot of different seeds of plants and vegetables that contains a substance known as vitamin B17. And I think we've probably talked about it.
That's Laetril, right?
Laetril,
yeah. We're going to come back, Ty, in just a moment. We'll talk more next hour. We'll take phone calls with you here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we're coming out to Vancouver, British Columbia this weekend at the Architects of the New Paradigm Conference. What an amazing event this is going to be. If you have a passport, come in from the States. If you're in Canada, meet us up there. Full information at events and in our carousel reel at coasttocoastam.com. And, of course, the incredible live show we've been talking about, the Diana Wortham Theater in Asheville, North Carolina. It is on August 25th. It's only a couple months away now. That is it. So come on out. You can get the tickets by going straight to the theater's website at dwtheatre.com, T-H-E-A-T-R-E. I did it with my little British accent. Diana Wortham Theater, or go to events at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back. Ty Bollinger with us. We will take your calls next hour. If you have had cancer, if you have it, definitely try to check in with us if you can. We just want to know how you are battling this, how you are coping, and what you're doing. And Ty might have some suggestions for you as well. Ty, so Edgar Cayce basically was talking about the substance of Laetril when he said eat a couple almonds to help fight the tendency of getting cancer. Why hasn't that been packaged as a cure or as a medicine or for a supplement?
Well, you know, it was for quite a while. As a matter of fact, in the 40s, it was very popular. And in the early 50s, it was very popular. And then there began to be attacks against Laetril. And there began to be studies that were performed out in California and also in New York at Sloan Kettering University or Sloan Kettering Hospital, saying that Laetril was dangerous and it was not effective against cancer. We later found out that the studies were falsified and that the Laetril actually is effective against cancer, but there began to be hit pieces against Laetril, and I think it's because it was going up against the big industry. It's interesting, George, that the Fitzgerald Report, which is in the appendix to the Congressional Record of 1953, this was a Senate Investigatory Committee, the United States Senate. Bennett Fitzgerald was an investigator for the Interstate Commerce Committee, and he determined that there was a conspiracy to suppress natural cancer treatments in the United States. This was an Interstate Commerce guy because these were transactions that were happening between the states, so it went to the Interstate Commerce Committee. And he determined there was a conspiracy, an active conspiracy to suppress Laetril. And this was in 1953. This can be researched. You can go out and read it. It's in the appendix to the Congressional Record of 1953. So it's not a conspiracy theory now, George. That's fact.
I am convinced, Ty, that the divine creator has created everything on this planet to fight illnesses and disease. We just have to go find it. What do you think?
I agree, George. I believe that there are medicinal values in every plant that grows. People sometimes ask me, what's the best cancer diet or diet that you should eat to fight cancer, to be healthy? Eat something fresh that grows. Don't eat things in a box or a can. Eat things that are grown. And if you eat fresh fruits and vegetables, you're going to be pretty healthy because there are nutritional aspects to everything that grows. There are anti-cancer properties in almost every plant. There are just amazing nutritional profiles in everything that's out there growing. From a preventative standpoint, and also just from a staying healthy standpoint.
Are most doctors jumping on the bandwagon now to do things naturally and to build your immunity, or are they still pretty old and traditional?
You know, George, since we first interviewed, our first interview, I believe, was like 8 years ago, and we've interviewed several times since then. I've seen a big trend with medical doctors. They're much more open to nutrition now. 10 years ago, they really weren't. 20 years ago, when we first started doing our research, they really weren't as open. But now I think doctors are beginning to see that the fuel that we put in our body, the nutrition that fuels our body, that fuels our immune system, actually matters. It's interesting, George, if you look at somebody that goes through mechanic school and you tell a mechanic that it doesn't really matter what fuel you put in your car, it'll still run the same, they would tell you that you're nuts. Of course fuel matters. But when it comes to our bodies, you know, doctors are just now coming around to learning and teaching their patients that the fuel that you use to burn, to run your body's engine, actually does matter. But I'm very encouraged, though, George, because they are waking up, I think, to that fact.
I talked to a doctor a couple of years ago from the City of Hope, the Cancer Treatment Center. And she was telling me that she thinks chemotherapy and radiation are the worst ways to fight cancer. Now, she admitted at the time that was the best available, but she said it's not the best. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, chemo and radiation, when we look at it as fighting cancer, what is cancer? Well, what I just described about 15 minutes ago, cancer is a failure of the immune system. So just from a logical perspective, you have somebody that's sick, their immune system is compromised, and so how do we treat it? We treat it with chemicals that make them sicker and further compromise the immune system. To me, that's the definition of insanity. That's what Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. When you treat someone that's sick with chemicals that will compromise their immune system, I don't know how you expect their immune system to recover and for them to get healthy. Now, granted, there are some people that do chemotherapy and they do recover, and I'm glad that they do, but I think that sometimes we look at that as the cure when really they recover despite the chemo. Because here's the thing, George, chemo certainly will shrink a tumor, and so will radiation. And so I'm not going to ever assert that that's not true. They will shrink tumors. The problem is that the tumor is the symptom of what's wrong in the body, but it's not the issue. And so if we cut out that tumor, there's still something wrong, and the cancer can come back, and it oftentimes does. So we need to get to the root cause of the cancer and not just cut out symptoms or, you know, cut out tumors or shrink tumors. That's not the problem.
What's really the difference between a cancerous tumor and a benign tumor? It's still a tumor. It's still a growth. What causes one to be cancerous and the other just to be a tumor?
Well, the differential between a cancerous tumor and a benign tumor is that cancer cells are rapidly dividing cells, and the tumors, typically cancerous tumors, are going to grow more rapidly. They're going to form their own blood supplies. They're going to start to take the nutrition of the body and to grow the tumor, and so that's why oftentimes people with cancerous tumors look very wasting away, like they have what's called cachexia, because the tumors are taking the nutrition from their body so that they can continue to grow.
What is the tumor? Is it a dead cell?
Tumors are made up of all different types of cells. So cancerous tumors are going to be made up of cancerous cells as well as healthy cells. Now, the thing that makes a benign tumor different from a cancerous tumor in one aspect is that these cancer cells they've lost the ability to self-destruct. That's called apoptosis, when a cancer cell self-destructs. All of our cells have limited lifespans, and so our cells are constantly dying and then regenerating. We're forming new cells. You know, look at your skin, how often you can scrape your skin off. You're forming new skin all the time. Well, that's happening throughout all of our body with all the cells. Now, the problem with cancer cells is that ability to control the life of itself has been turned off. One of the genes is called the P53 gene. It's in a cancer cell that has been affected so that the cell doesn't know it's supposed to die. And so really what we have are these aberrant cells that have lost the ability to kill themselves like they're supposed to, like all of our cells do, and they live forever. And that's the problem, is it's hard to get rid of these little suckers.
The Food and Drug Administration yesterday approved the use of cannabis for fighting a couple cases of epilepsy. How widespread will cannabis be to help try to treat cancer?
Man, George, that's a great question. I wish I knew. I can tell you from my gut instinct, I think that in the next decade, we are going to see a ton of states follow California and Colorado and different states that have legalized cannabis, that have even made it not just for medicinal purposes, but also just recreational. I believe that the cannabis plant is a plant that should not be regulated by the federal government. It's a very, very medicinal plant. It's a nutritious plant. It is effective against cancer. It's effective against epilepsy. There are case studies against Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. I think that everyone that's sick should have access to the cannabis plant, because it really is a miracle plant.
Yeah, it really is. Now, describe, if you could, for us, three or four of the most potent natural cancer treatments that are being suppressed, in your opinion.
Yeah, here's a fun one to talk about, George. I love to talk about treating cancer with viruses, right? We talked about vaccines a little bit earlier. There's a clinic that we visited a couple years ago when I was doing travels for the Global Quest documentary. It's in Riga, Latvia. Now, I didn't know much about Latvia at that time. I just kind of knew that it was a Eastern Bloc nation adjacent to Russia across the Baltic Sea from Sweden. Didn't know much about it, but turns out we get to Riga, Latvia, and we go to these this what's called the Latvian Virotherapy Center. It's a beautiful modern city, amazing hospitals, and they are using viruses to treat cancer. These are healthy viruses that are found in the gut of healthy children. And Jeez. They found that they are selectively toxic against cancer. They don't hurt normal cells. If you inject these healthy viruses into adults that have cancer, they target the cancer cell. And here's what's interesting, George. This has been approved by the Latvian equivalent of the FDA to be used in the oncological centers in Latvia now. And since we visited there 2 years ago, it has also been approved as a conventional treatment in Armenia and in Georgia. So they're making headway with this non-toxic viral therapy for cancer. That's just one that blows my mind, that we're actually using viruses to treat cancer.
That's cutting edge, isn't it?
It's totally cutting edge, yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the guys that was instrumental in bringing this to market and also in the wide acceptance that it has now in Latvia was one of the three finalists for the European Medicine Award in 2015. So we're not talking about, the guys that are working from their basement. We're talking about very well-known medical doctors in these countries that are now being recognized for developing cutting-edge natural treatments.
What's happening to some doctors who are being persecuted for utilizing natural cures?
It really depends upon the country, George. So Latvia is very open.
What about here?
The United States is not near as free as we might think when it comes to medicine. So doctors are using these treatments, but they're not really advertising the fact that they're using these treatments on their websites. It's more of kind of an underground network where people know that certain treatments are being used without being advertised. If they get found out, then they can lose their license. And many doctors have lost their license. Many doctors have been forced to go practice in Mexico and outside the country because they're using unapproved treatments. And that's really the travesty that we face, George, is that these doctors are hamstrung. Doctors are good people. They want to help their patients, but they're not allowed to use these treatments unless they exhaust the approved treatments by the FDA, which are, of course, chemo, radiation, and surgery. And unfortunately, by the time that many of these sick patients go through those treatments, they're not around any longer to have any other treatments. The conventional treatment itself will kill the patient because their body's so sick.
I'm hearing, and we're following a story, that a number of holistic doctors have been killed or have died under very strange circumstances, a very high, unusual amount of doctors. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've been following that for the last several years. Our good friend Aaron Elizabeth has been covering that in news stories, breaking news, for the last two to three years, and there's been over 100 natural doctors that have gone missing and or committed, quote, suicide or found under mysterious circumstances. I can't elaborate on a lot of the specifics, but I do know that the cases that I've read over the last couple of years, there's more than a few that were extremely suspicious circumstances, and the family said no, they would have never, a lot of suicides. Family says they would have never killed themselves. There's a couple of cases where people were allegedly killed themselves with shotguns, which is not very common. Very, very fishy deaths, I'd say, George.
So we talked earlier about my sister's unfortunate death because of a brain tumor on the left side of her head where she held her cell phone. She talked on the phone a lot. Ty, there's just something that tells me that had something to do with it.
George, unfortunately, I'm sorry for your loss. I think you're right. We've known this for a long time, though. There was a book that was put out in the late 80s called Cell Phones, Invisible Hazards in the Modern World, written by a scientist named George Carlo. He was hired by one of the Bell telephone companies to investigate cell phones to see if they were dangerous. This is back in the day before we all had a cell phone. They were very uncommon at that time, and they were very large. But the radiation's still the same. And he began to find that there was a very common instance of brain cancer among the cell phone users. We've had dozens, if not hundreds, of studies since that time that have shown the same thing. The preponderance or the majority of these tumors are found on the side where people hold their cell phones. The World Health Organization declared cell phone radiation to be a probable human carcinogen in 2015. So I don't know why it's even surprising to people now that people are getting cancer, you know, getting brain cancer when they hold their cell phone to their head, because the World Health Organization, you know, told us 3 years ago it probably causes cancer in humans. So I'm just saddened by the fact that there's so much exposure to radiation today, which what we would think of as electromagnetic radiation, dirty electricity, however you want to call it, that's compromising the body. And it's only going to get worse. You know, George, we're looking at 5G now coming out across the country.
And six.
And we're seeing research, we're seeing scientists blowing the whistle and saying, when we go from 4G to 5G, we're talking about exponentially more, not just one time more radiation. We're talking about 100 times more radiation. And when you go to 5 to 6, another 100 times more powerful radiation. It's amazing that we all don't have cancer right now with all the radiation we're exposed to now, this invisible pollution that we did not have. And I really think this is the radiation, George, is one of the most deadly and one of the most ubiquitous killers that we're not seeing today. It's invisible. We don't see it. And I think that's why it's hard for people to get their hands around it and grasp just how carcinogenic it is. But I think the next 20 years, we're going to see such advances in technology and the different coverage from different cell phones, the advances in speed, it's going to have a detrimental effect. There's always good and bad with every advancement in technology. And I think that's going to be – I think somebody comes out with a device that will allow you to wear like a mobile radiation protection device.
Probably.
A billionaire.
Probably. Ty Bollinger with us. His website, thetruthaboutcancer.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. What about certain foods, Ty? What do you recommend to people?
I recommend that people eat what they like as long as it's natural and organic and not genetically modified. So,
no GMOs, huh?
Stay away from GMOs. You know, the Seralini study of 2014 that was released showed that the GMOs do cause cancer. The Monsanto said that they don't. The studies that they performed said that they don't cause cancer. But the reality is Monsanto just only performed the studies for 90 days on these rats, and the Seralini and his colleagues in Italy carried out the studies to 2 years, and they found that at about 150 days, the rats started getting tumors. And so there's no doubt GMO, and that was the corn that they looked at that time, George. The GMO corn was causing massive cancerous tumors in the rats. So stay away from GMOs. Eat as organic and natural as you possibly can. And, you know, just a lot of this seems like no-brainer type stuff, George, but we got to do what
Common
we
sense.
Know that we should do.
Common
exercise.
Sense. Ty, we're going to come back with you in a moment. Right after the top of the hour, we'll take phone calls, continue chatting with you about your work. Your film is called The Truth About Cancer. Tell us where people can see that when we come back.